morning, Your Honors. Deirdre Glenn Levin on behalf of the respondent. I don't believe that counsel for the appellant is appearing today. I think that was
granted the request that he waive oral argument. So it is simply you.
Very good. And may it please the court, I do represent Al Transfer, a building limited partnership, the respondent in this matter. I'm going to keep my oral argument today relatively brief and allow the panel opportunity to ask any questions if there are any. I do want to spend a moment to outline the facts because ultimately this is a procedural question on review, and so the facts here and the timeline are really what are key to the court's review of the Superior Court's decision on appeal. Hua Wen International was the tenant in a commercial property, and its uncontested breached its lease with the respondent Al Transfer in March of 2007. There followed a damages action, an order allowing service by publication. Still, no answer was filed, and the Al at that point moved forward a default order was entered in judgment on January 14th of 2008, and that's an important date because that's the date upon which the one-year period commences under the applicable RCW for moving to vacate a default judgment that was entered where the defendant was not personally served. About 4 years later, on August 29th, 2012, the judgment creditor went forward and moved for garnishment and indeed successfully garnished two bank accounts of over $76,000, which was actually under the amount of the judgment. Those funds were deposited into counsel's account, and really nothing happened again for close to almost 3 months on November 1st. Now we're at 4 years, 10 months after the entry of the default judgment.
There's more than one grounds upon which the argument was made to vacate the judgment. It was not just 4.28200. There was also a motion to vacate the judgment under 60B5 as void, and the trial court did in fact find initially that service of process was insufficient. So can you address 60B5 and how it relates to the CR 60 provision related to 4.28200?
Well, 60B5 allows a court in an appeal review situation to go back and look at the particulars of service, look at the affidavit of service, the attempts made, and so on. Though that order was never appealed, even after the defendants learned that they had been served and had an opportunity to review all of the pleadings, they never appealed and never sought to have that issue reviewed. They still, to this date, have not sought to have that issue reviewed. So,
are you suggesting they would seek review of that order directly in an appellate court rather than first challenging it by motion in the trial court?
Well, I think that would be the appropriate channel. I mean, they did it. They did.
Do you have any case law for that proposition? We have a rule that requires any appeal to be filed within 30 days of the entry of the final order.
They might have been. I don't want to make arguments on their behalf, but they may have made the argument that they didn't know of the service and of the underlying predicates and evidence in support of the service until they received until they were served with the garnishment. But the garnishment they received on August 29, 2012, and they didn't move to take any action.
But they did move to vacate under 60B5, arguing that it was a void judgment. They made that argument.
The concern, Your Honor, is what is the procedural rule? What is the timeline impacts that?
Is it a one-year timeline? That's why I asked you about the interplay.
They haven't made that argument. They've waived those issues on appeal. What we do know on the facts is that they...
Let me ask you a question. If something is void, how does it ever change its status?
If something, if the order is void?
Is entered without personal jurisdiction isn't voidable. It's void. If something is void, how does it ever become something different?
They have an, I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor, but they had an.
I told you that there isn't any way for it to, which is why you can always challenge a void judgment.
Well, and if they had, and they may have, they have had an, they had an opportunity to do that.
Well,
they were served. They were served with the garnishment on August 29th, but they didn't take any action until November 1st. So even if you were to say, well, let's start the 30 days on the day that they received notice of the garnishment, let's start that time period, they were well beyond that. They had all of September and all of October, and they did nothing. So now we're at November, and they finally sort of wake up and, oh, gee, I guess our monies are garnished. Maybe we better go back and do something and take a hard look
the
at what happened.
It was never any good anyway. Why couldn't they complain tomorrow for the first time about it?
Your Honor, there has to be there has to be some equitable view here that the judgment was entered in on January 24th.
So there's some rule of equity that says a void judgment attains some kind of a different status as a matter of fairness at some point in time?
I think that's a reasonable view.
Do you have a case that says that?
No, that they haven't made that argument. That the only order on appeal is that the judge's order granting its sua sponte motion to vacate its prior order. It's an order vacating.
Well, the court on reconsideration made a different decision.
Yes, the court on reconsideration went back and said, you know, we have to apply these timelines that are set by statute where there is no discretion.
The court applied the timeline under 4.28200.
Right, and where there is
and
no.
And is that a correct interpretation of the interplay between 4.28200 and CR 60B5?
In our view, it is.
Why? Again, we're back to if the judgment was void, why would there be a one-year time limitation?
I think it's incumbent on an appellant to be able to make the arguments as to why it's not void, as opposed to the respondent having to argue why it is void. Those issues were not.
Do you agree that if the court didn't acquire personal jurisdiction, the judgment is void?
Well, I disagree with the premise. The court in this instance,
don't
I can't
worry about disagreeing. That is not a fruitful way for you to answer my question.
Right.
Do you agree with the premise that if the court lacked personal jurisdiction, the judgment was void?
I'd like an opportunity to brief that. I don't think that's really one of the issues on appeal. The issue on appeal is the judge's order on reconsideration, and they've had an opportunity to go back and
I think it's not helpful in analyzing the interplay between 60B5 and the statute to appreciate whether or not a judgment entered without personal jurisdiction is void.
I think that the Superior Court had an opportunity to look carefully at what the judge on the motion calendar did, look at the affidavits of service, and analyze those. And
except the court found there was personal jurisdiction.
I think at some point one has to rest on that initial judge's scrutiny of the affidavits of the process server of the attempts made. That judge entered that order to say you have established the threshold.
The decision that we're reviewing, is it a decision simply that the defendants came into court too late, or a decision that somebody found there was personal jurisdiction and we defer to that determination because there was enough evidence in the record to support it?
The latter, Your Honor, that the Superior Court judge made that initial that determination back in January of 2008.
What did the judge who made the decision we're reviewing decide? Did that judge decide, I don't look at that question because it's too late, or I've looked at the record and there's enough there to allow me to say a reasonable person could have made the decision that judge made?
I wish I could get into the court's head, Your Honor, but there aren't any written findings and conclusions that help this panel or help me as a counsel for a party to...
The arguments that you made to the trial court help us determine what the trial judge did?
We made the argument that essentially that Your Honor characterized in the second set of principles, that once that determination is made, that it's proper to go forward with an order for substitute service, that if the Court of Appeals 4 or 5 years later can look behind that, then we have a very shaky foundation for the civil procedure in this matter.
All right. Thank you,
Your Honors.